Shalom, Saints of God. This is Sheila Crawford of the Shofar Ministries Hour. With no lengthy news tonight due to a longer program, just a quick announcement to say, keep praying that Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel does not fold under Obama's pressure and that they finish their job by destroying all the underground infrastructure, particularly Hamas's war rooms in the Gaza Strip. Normal news will resume next week. And remember, this Friday, we'll look at the book as I will be sharing a lot of what's happening. So try to join us at 7 o'clock Friday night, Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road in Chesterland. That's Route 306. Hope to see ya.
Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as WHKWRadio.com on the net. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, and the reason you're hearing me first tonight is because, well, we're skipping the news segment, but don't worry. Our effervescent Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, is still here.
I'm here.
She's here, see? Told you. And glad you could join us tonight. We're going to look deeper into these final days that we're living in before the rapture, before Jesus returns to set up his kingdom. But first, we want to ask God to be with us and for him to bestow his wisdom on his servants tonight. Abba, we want to lift up to you tonight any Catholics who may be listening and who might be questioning their religion. Please, Lord, continue to soften the soil of their hearts. Pull down the stronghold of pride so they can see for themselves the error and come out of her and stop sharing in her sins. We lift up all those personal prayer requests that have recently come in this month. And of course, we pray for all those who are tuned in right now. Lord, may you be mindful of their specific needs, and most importantly, speak to the hearts of their unsaved loved ones by opening their eyes to see the truth of your salvation. Father, we thank you and ask that you continue to provide the funds for this program to remain on the air. We are speaking the truth, and we want to continue speaking your truth. In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen, and shalom to you as well. The lines are open for your end-time questions, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. And we will have news next week. We just have so much to cover and talk about, and decided to get right into the program.
Okay, good.
We'd like to change things a little bit.
Yeah.
Not routine.
Okay. Remember, if you've missed any of our previous programs, you can go to shofarministries.net on the internet, and they're all archived there for you to find. And they're easy to find, and they're easy to find, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I just want to begin by reminding our listeners that to be a good student of the Bible, and oh my gosh, I hope that everybody wants to be a good student of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, you just want to, you don't want to get pieces and parts. You want the whole Bible, right?
That's right, exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
So that means you need to know the end time scenario as well, which is the major message throughout the book, really.
And I guess that's why they're called prophet books, right?
That's right. There mm-hmm. are specific prophet books.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Revelation is a prophetic book. And, again, those of you who are regular listeners might agree with me by now that Mystery Babylon of Revelation is indeed Rome.
Mm.
And Daniel has end-time prophecy in it also.
Who we have taught on that more than a few times.
Yes, we have a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
And it is clear to me that it is Rome when you look at Daniel chapter 9's encounter with the angel Gabriel, who came to explain Daniel's vision to him. Tells us that the end time scenario will be surfaced around Rome, definitely. Because it says,
known for a long time.
Yes, it says that after the Messiah is cut off, again, this is in chapter 9, around verse 24, after the Messiah is cut off, the wicked prince coming that would eventually sign that peace treaty that we're looking at today with his people, that is Israel, would come from the same area that would also first destroy the city and the sanctuary in Jerusalem. And sure enough, about 600 years after Daniel's vision, in 70 AD, Jerusalem was sacked by the Romans.
Yes, and not only sacked, but they burned down the temple, overturned all the stones.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Daniel says the people that did that will be the same area where the Antichrist is coming.
Or the wicked prince is coming.
The wicked prince, yes.
Interesting.
That's right.
That's very interesting.
I mean, that's not difficult once you understand what he's saying. Hmm. And then you have to say, yeah, if history repeats itself. It was Rome then. It's going to be Rome again.
Wow.
You know? So.
We always knew that.
For a while. Not always, but for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So then, again, as I said, I believe that Rome is the main character here. So therefore, should we repeat that just in case people don't?
What, about the treaty?
Well, again, we can conclude that this Prince of Darkness, I believe, will come from Rome, and it will either be the Pope, and either he'll be the Antichrist or the false prophet,
mm-hmm.
and I'm willing to be open on that end of it for a little while until I get more positive, but it's definitely going to be Rome.
Okay, well, there's going to be a treaty signed with by this guy.
Yes.
But hasn't there been a lot of past treaties that have been signed? I'm thinking of like Camp David and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, of course, the biggest one was in 1993, the Oslo Accords.
Oslo Accords.
Yeah.
That's the one.
But the thing about it is, that's not the one the Pope signed.
Oh.
So it wasn't the real one.
Oh, that's true. He wasn't in on that one, was he? Okay.
And, again, there's foreshadows. Okay? A lot of foreshadows happening. A lot of history repeating itself type of thing.
Yes.
You know? I remember in 1993... I had people calling me up and say, this is it, we're still here, you're wrong about the rapture. And I said, no, that can't be the treaty, because we are still here. So anyway, it'll be the real thing when the leader of Rome confirms it. And as I've been saying for a while.
Again, it's not a question of what, but when, you know. So we know what's going to be signed, we just don't know when.
We can guess. But we're not going to do that on the radio today.
No, not today.
Anyway, I believe in my heart, after intense study, that the Pope is the one that's going to be actually coming in and helping this peace treaty. And one of the reasons we didn't really do the news tonight is because we're going to be talking about this, because that peace treaty is just not working at all with Kerry. I mean, he's getting nowhere. And then just today, I heard that Abbas, who is the leader of the PLO, says, well, we want the Wailing Wall as part of that agreement. And I think, are you kidding me? I mean, they don't want peace. I'm telling you right now.
Well, you know.
Just like Arafat didn't want it when he was promised the moon, practically.
Yes.
Because they want to stay what they are. They're getting all this money, you know, helping all these poor refugees over in Jordan, and the right of return he wants, and it's not going to happen until that real special man comes along, which will be the Antichrist. And he is going to get them to all agree for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see, as I reported, I think last week, that the Pope has already said he would be glad to help Mr. Kerry. And Mr. Kerry said, I would love to have your help and have you as an ally in this endeavor. So we already are seeing it come together.
Yes, very much.
Anyway, so then when he signs it, it will begin the 7 years of tribulation.
Yes, but we, as the Bible-believing church, and I mean the body of believers, we won't see that.
We actually will not see the signing. However,
right.
I believe it'll be announced when they're going to sign it.
Okay.
So we possibly could at least know that.
Yeah.
And see, that's what I mean. As the closer we get to the possible time when the rapture occurs, we're going to know a lot more information. A lot more. And that's why those scriptures that say, well, encourage one another, and so much so as you see the day approaching, because we're going to see it closer as we...
That scripture says we will see the day
as we
approaching.
Get closer.
If we have our eyes open, and we do.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get a balcony view. Huh?
Nope. We're not even going to have a balcony view because we're not going to know anything sad.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
That's nice.
Yes, nothing sad.
Nothing sad. Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Okay. You seem very convinced.
I am.
Okay.
Anyhow, when all the darts are connected, folks, we can know that the man of perdition, that we also call the Antichrist, or at least the false prophet, is, I believe, the Pope of Rome. From the Vatican, the city on one of the seven hills of Rome, always... used to be called Vaticanus, and it's the place of the diving serpent, which apparently is some serpent from the sea. And I think that's also interesting because the Antichrist comes up out of the sea.
In Daniel's?
In Revelation.
In 13. Revelation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's also where the satanic temple of Janus once stood, on the same hill where Vatican has... their cathedral.
And, of course, you're not taking a guess here. You've been studying this for hours, haven't you?
Hours?
Days, years.
Well, more intensely lately, just because God's put it in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting close to the time, and he has just given me a passion to study what's going on, who's Rome, who's Babylon, the Pope, his background, which is for another day, but I'm telling you. Anyway, let's go on. But anyway, the Vatican answers to no one. They are totally sovereign. They're their own little state, basically. It writes its own laws, has the highest rate of crime per capita in the world, however.
That may have something to do with the tourism, right? Because they have a lot of tourists.
They do, probably pickpocketers and things like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, petty crime, I think.
Guess it's understandable. But now, I think it's really interesting that John the Revelator... prophesied in one of his letters, I think it was the first one, when he said, there are many antichrists. And that was in 1 John 2:18. I see I wrote that down.
Many.
Yeah.
Many. He was saying that back then. That makes sense.
Yes.
Well, consider this.
And he was prophesying, too.
He was prophesying. But consider this. How many popes has there been since John wrote that?
I think there's been 266.
266?
Something like that.
Does that qualify as many?
That's many. years. Think of it.
Yeah. Jesus could have, though, if he had wanted to, come back at any time and had a ready-made, you know,
he'd have one always there, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would.
Yeah. Interesting.
So it's a good thing we're praying for his return.
Yes. But now let me say, in all fairness, there have been some popes who have tried to do the right thing.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course there have been. Yeah.
However, when they ever did really try to do the right thing, they would get poisoned for trying, particularly after the Jesuits were formed in 1540 by Ignatius Loyola, who ended up taking the title of the Jesuit general, and now there have been many Jesuit generals.
Well, he's the one that's become known now as the Black Pope, right?
Well, they do call Jesuit general the Black Pope because he always wears... black, you know, the black robe and things like that. And, of course, the Pope of Rome, it wears...
always wears white.
Except Benedict, he wore red shoes and a red hat.
He wore red shoes and a red hat.
But anyway, they do believe that they take the place of Christ on earth, and John's vision in Revelation 1 is Jesus Christ was all in white.
Oh. Now, yeah, that's... I think you had some quotes, I think, from... popes in the past.
I do.
That can really substantiate what you're saying. Do you have a few of those ready?
Yes, I do. And you know what? People, these are very important because it really says a lot through history and even up to close to the present time. I've got some quotes here, and you can check them out. Tell me, you know, I mean, you can certainly verify this.
Well, they're kind of shocking.
Yes, they are. Actually, I have a quote from Pope Pius X, and this was taken from the Evangelical Christendom, January 1st, 1895. You can find that on page 15, actually. But here's what he said. Quote, "The Pope is not simply the representative of Christ. On the contrary, he is Jesus Christ himself, under the veil of the flesh. Does the Pope speak? It is Jesus Christ who is speaking. Hence, when anyone speaks of the Pope, it is not necessary to examine, but to obey."
Whoa.
Now that's I mean, wow.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
All right, I have another one. This is from Pope Boniface VIII in 1302. And he said, quote, "Every human creature," not just Catholics, now he said, "every human creature is subject to the Roman pontiff."
Did you say every?
Every.
Every human creature
is subject to the pontiff. "This we declare, say, define, and pronounce to be altogether necessary to salvation."
You say that's necessary? He said that was necessary to salvation
to be subject to the Pope. And he also called himself King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Well, that takes some chutzpah, doesn't it?
It does. And this is what I'm saying. You know, most precious Catholics don't even understand what or know what's gone on in the history of their church. Why do you want to stay in a church like this, even if you think it's changed? A good chance it didn't.
I got to think that most people like me just weren't very big students of history, period, let alone
history. Oh, yeah, I didn't know this. I was a Catholic. I didn't understand. I didn't know this.
Well, we don't. I think generally folks don't know their history, period, whether it's about the Catholic Church or what.
John, is out there.
It is out there.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making this stuff up.
Some of it is coming at a premium now, and we'll have another conversation about that, but some of the books some of these are very, very expensive now and hard to get a hold of.
I know. I had to get one on Craigslist because even Amazon, I used one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which one it was now, but, I mean, $50, $60, $70
yeah, but
for this little paperback.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a paperback.
Yeah.
That's the price of truth these days.
Yeah.
Because it's so rare, unfortunately. Oh.
I got another one. Pope Pius IX said, and this was in between 1846 and 1878, he said, "I am sovereign." I have another one by Pope Leo XIII. Quote, "We," speaking of the popes, "hold upon this earth the place of Almighty God."
Wow.
That was in 1894.
That's unbelievable. Unless.
Unless.
You know the power that's behind it.
Exactly, John. That is the key to be able to put all evil in proper perspective. It's not flesh and blood that we are against or come up against. It's the evil in high places,
and that's
principalities.
Right. That's right. We have to remind ourselves that and to put it in proper perspective.
Right, and the enemy's always been here.
Right.
You know?
You can get carried away if you don't have it in proper perspective.
Absolutely, because then you're looking at people and you're saying, oh, there's no way that anybody can be like that.
Right.
But it's not. It's the evil behind it. That's why you see, oh, my gosh, so many stories of pure evil, people slashing people's throats and that.
Right.
That's not normal. That is an enemy doing that.
Mm-hmm. It is, and it is the enemy.
Demonic.
Yes. Do you have any more of these quotes?
I do. I think I have at least one more.
Okay.
Pope Pius the 11th. Yes, in 1924 now. We're getting a little closer here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was speaking to some school children who was visiting the Vatican for a field trip.
Oh.
And he said, quote, "I am the Pope. I am King over all. I am God on earth. When I speak, my word is the word of God. And you are to remember this as long as you live."
Wow.
So what's he saying? I am God.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Anyway, this, in case somebody wants to find this out, this was from the book Alien Rome by Bertrand Tipple.
Mm. And these popes are actually saying what the Antichrist will say.
Yes, this is exactly the same.
It seems like a lot of them have fulfilled that role already. And it's not a matter of who, it's a matter of when, mm-hmm. right? It's not a question of who.
It's going to happen.
It's a matter of when.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One more?
Oh, yeah, okay, one more. Yes, Pope John Paul.
Oh, that's
and
reason.
Now, I remember him because this was more like in Amalaba, probably 1980s, 1984 maybe. And again, I remember because I was still a Catholic then. And he said, quote, "Don't go to God for forgiveness. Come to me."
He said that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I bet that got a lot of press.
Yes, actually it did. It was in the Los Angeles Times, December 12th, 1984. And Time Magazine carried it as well.
Hmm.
And I have other quotes, but believe me, they're all an abomination to the Lord. But we don't want to run out of time, and I want to really kind of stay focused on the Society of Jesus, these Jesuits.
The Society of Jesus. Now, what is the main agenda of the Jesuits?
The number one goal is to counter the Protestant Reformation and to gain Jerusalem.
And how would they do this? Or will they do this? Or try
well,
this?
They've been doing this, yes. Actually, mm-hmm. very heavy training. Very, very heavy training. At least 15 years of basic training, I guess you could call it.
Hmm.
And then, if they feel that you're able and you would make a good candidate, you would take what you call the fourth level vow.
Mm-hmm.
And that is total submission. I was going to read that vow, or at least part of it, but it is so awful that I just, I don't know, maybe another time, but I wasn't ready to do that tonight.
Yeah, I've read it too, and it is awful.
It's more than awful.
And up into that vow, they're sort of like apprentices, aren't they, until they...
Yes, they're called novices, neophytes, and then they go into, they could actually be a priest, coadjutor, which means they go out into the field, but once they take that fourth level vow, they've signed their life away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And also, I understand that you can't even take a fourth level vow unless you've been part of or helped in the killing of a heretic.
Hmm.
Yeah, so.
That's scary.
It's very scary. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Are there any examples of that in history?
What do you mean?
Of some... Jesuit fulfilling that vow?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I can't read them off the top of my head, but they're easy to find.
Okay. We'll get into that some other time.
Yeah, we will.
We'll like to see that.
I don't even know if I want to.
Yeah.
It's just so awful. But anyway, they want to bring back the one world religion that existed in the Dark Ages. And then some of these fourth level Jesuits would often change their names and infiltrate all walks of society, but particularly the Protestant seminaries. And they'll come in as a student.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already, some of them, fourth-level Jesuits that change their name.
Yep.
So that they can infiltrate Protestant seminaries and cause division, strife, even setting up really good ministers to fall.
Well, divide and conquer. Isn't that an old military... saying, and they were very successful.
Yeah,
and you can tell. Look how the Protestant denominations
are. That's right. They would cause strife, and they would separate. And
yes. And that was all stirred up. A lot of that by.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Hmm. Wow.
Anyway, again, like I said, others work in the government, the Pentagon, and as coadjutors, they're also known as the short coats. In other words, they're not as a priest and wear the long black coats.
Ah, I
see. The short coats, and they're out into the field with total obedience to the Jesuit general, also known as the Black Pope. Mm. As in the case of the sea captain who purposely sunk the Titanic.
He went down with it too, didn't he?
That's right. And we're going to talk about him next week.
Oh, okay.
In details and how that all went down and why.
Oh, well,
we have the Federal Reserve and all that kind of stuff.
Ooh.
That's a very interesting story.
Hmm.
Okay.
So
we're going to move on, but before we do that, I want to try to make the people out there that might be sad right now, because this is a sad topic.
Well, it is.
To realize what's happening.
It is.
But I think we need to lift everyone up by playing something uplifting, like we always like to do.
Yes.
And when we come back, then we'll try to finish this. There we go.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was Brenda Fossey, a song that we've played before and probably not enough. Soon and very soon.
I love it.
You love that? You were dancing to that.
Wonderful
rhythm to that song, great bass line, and wonderful singing. That's just great. Hey, would you like Sheila to speak at your church or your home group? Hey, all you have to do is email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. Or just call her at the office. That's 440-834-9006. Remember, if you're asking her to come to your church, have your pastor go on the website, shofarministries.net, and check out some of the teachings and the programs.
Great idea. That way they'll get to know me a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. And she'd be happy to come out. Okay? And that's Sheila@shofarministries.net.
That's right. And I want to say that your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air. We still are a little short for last month's costs, so I would appreciate you praying about being a contributor. And so far, they're still tax deductible. So if you would like this program, and if you are being blessed and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
Amen, and God will bless you. Please send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. Or on our web homepage, there is a Partner With Us button on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so be sure to include your email or house address.
That's right. And
phone lines are open?
That's right. They
triple
are.
Eight, triple eight, eight,
yeah,
677 Word, 888-677 Word. If you're kind of shy about being on the air, you can give Brett, our producer tonight, a question, and he'll relay it to us somehow.
Won't
he?
Right.
He's nodding his head. Yes, we will. And just a reminder. Let's see. First Friday of every month.
Yes.
We're at Chester Christian Center. And that's at 11815 Chillicothe Road, or Route 306 in Chesterland, close to I-90, close to I-271. We begin with Messianic worship at 7 p.m.
That's right.
And
all
our
right.
subject tonight, the Jesuits, otherwise known as the Society of
Jesus.
Of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a good name. Like you'd expect.
It sounds like a great name.
You'd expect some,
I know.
Good stuff from them, right?
Yeah.
But we're not getting too much good stuff from them.
No, not if you check the history.
Yeah, we're doing history.
Yeah, you got to do your homework.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got lots to tell.
Yeah, we do. Well, anyway, about 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Abraham Lincoln died and why the Jesuits killed him.
Mm-hmm.
We went through that already.
Yes.
I think tonight now we should do another part.
Okay.
And every week we'll probably do one more for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But let's tell our listeners how the Catholic Church actually created Islam.
Mm. Okay. Now, that's a really wild story. Now, if you want to read this, where can they go?
Oh, it's on the webpage as well, under the newsletter for January. I just wrote about it, actually.
Oh.
A little bit different, a little bit shorter. But it's there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they can, if you get that on the webpage, you can copy that.
Please.
And distribute it.
Send it out.
Yeah, sure.
Let me begin now, again, by reminding our listeners that really all the popes have had a strong desire to have a throne in Jerusalem.
Now, why that desire?
Well, obviously because Satan wants to sit in the temple and declare himself God. Well, and he will.
And he will. So Satan has had to implement a plan, and he's using Rome as a scapegoat.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But look how long it's taken him. But his plan will come to pass. And again, it's all in God's timing because he's really the, you know.
Yes. And it looks like soon and very soon.
That's right.
Because this new pope, man, he's moving quick, isn't he?
Yeah, very quick, actually. Mm-hmm. If you can just listen carefully to his statements, some of the things he's saying, it's very revealing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get into it.
Okay.
There was a young Arab boy who lost his father, and after his mother and grandparents died from disease, he had to live with an uncle.
Now, let me guess. This young guy's name was Muhammad, right?
Very good, John. It was. And one day, a Roman Catholic monk in the mission field to convert the Arabs came to pay a visit to their home. You should also know that the bishop at that time, his name was Augustine, he actually had been very successful in converting many Arabs to Catholicism in this area of North Africa. Even converting many whole tribes of Arabs who really weren't very religious in anything except maybe a few moon gods and deities at that time.
Just the usual moon gods.
Yeah, right.
And this is, we're going back here now to the early 7th century, right?
Yes, actually, Muhammad had a vision. It was in the year 610 AD.
Right at the beginning. Mm.
So the Arabs actually had some knowledge of Catholicism from word of mouth because people were converting.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually started growing in power, except there was some opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And that was incurring from the true Christians and Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somehow the Vatican just had to stop this criticism they were getting, and they wanted to create some kind of weapon to eliminate those who refused to accept Roman Catholicism.
Okay, so now here's where the Arabs play a big role, don't they? They saw the Arabs as a source of manpower to do their dirty work.
Absolutely.
In other words, they're going to use them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, let's clarify, though, we have to look at the power behind all of this,
and
which is who?
We know it is Satan, and he is a schemer.
That's right.
And his desire, he's the one that really has a desire to sit in Jerusalem as king.
That's right.
It's Satan himself.
I want to take just a quick look here. I have a caller that actually, I don't think is on the line, but left a message. Okay. She or he wants to know if Bibi Netanyahu would rebuild the temple, I assume on the Mount, before Jesus returns. The answer is absolutely, positively, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he definitely will. Probably as soon as we're out of here, they will start building it, and it shouldn't take more than 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And that's because?
Because they have a lot of things ready to go already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have.
And again, as we're talking tonight, the Pope actually really, really wants it put up.
He has a vested interest in this temple being built. And we were talking about this at Chester Christian Center, where we're at the first Friday every month. But we were talking about this, about the ultra-Orthodox. They don't want a temple.
No, because they know what's going to happen. It's for the Antichrist.
Yeah.
You know, it's really the secular people and those that are under the thumb of the Pope.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much.
Oh,
nothing is as it seems. There's so much corruption and evil going on behind everything.
We know that deception is a hallmark of our age. We know that from studying Bible prophecy and also political intrigue and religious intrigue. It's very...
That's right.
It's easy, I can accept it now. I've had trouble with this, but knowing who's behind it and knowing where we're going to be going very soon, I'm really encouraged when I hear these things, because it's really putting the pieces of the puzzle in place.
Right.
And making
it... Why do you think God's allowing us to see this information and putting a passion in my heart to expose some of this stuff so that some Catholics will get out?
I know.
And the same thing with Muslims. They're a pawn as well. They need to get out of Islam and be just a regular Christian.
They're being used, and that's very, very sad. And it's also wrong to do that with people. And you're very excited about this subject, and I think you started when you returned to God. You started back in the Book of Revelation.
I did.
And it's been... it's been no holds barred ever since.
Yeah.
I mean, you have gone after this, and I really accuse you of stopping at Starbucks too much tonight, and because you're so excited about this.
Well, I'm excited about his return, even though there's some sad things here. But you got to remember what happened when John ate that scroll. It was bitter and sweet.
Ah.
And that's what this is all about.
Okay.
But I have to present the truth. Because I'm going to stand in front of God someday, and he's going to say, I gave you all this truth. What did you do with it? Well, I can't just keep it under a bushel.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, you're light.
So I also want to thank you, caller, for calling in with that question, and we'll continue.
Yes, that was a good question.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, so now we go back to these converted Roman Catholic Arabs, and there was a lot of them. And so the Catholic Church used them to report information to Rome.
Okay.
And others were used as underground spy network, people to carry out Rome's master plan to somehow control the other Arabs who rejected Catholicism. Okay, so they had the converts, and they have the Arabs that wouldn't convert. So then they had to control them as well, and that's where Muhammad comes in. By the way, the St. Augustine's monasteries at this time would actually serve as bases to seek out and destroy the Bibles and the manuscripts, any Christian books owned by true Christians. They were getting rid of them.
That's so the common man couldn't
have
access.
They had to destroy true knowledge.
Wow. Wow.
So.
That's diabolical.
I know.
Hmm.
The Vatican's plan was to create a Messiah for the Arabs, like we said, someone they could raise up as a great leader, a man with charisma, whom they could train and eventually unite all the non-Catholic Arabs behind him, Muhammad, creating a mighty army that would ultimately capture Jerusalem and then give it to the Pope.
And that, remember, that's always the goal here, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, later on, let's jump ahead to about 1960. In a Vatican briefing to some Jesuits, a cardinal named Cardinal B boastingly told this Muhammad story as it was handed down to him. And he told it to some young Jesuits, and one of them, his name was Alberto Rivera, who later left the Jesuits and became a whistleblower around 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually was a whistleblower. And we've got a lot of information about him, but he did die in 1997.
Yes, and a lot of his interviews have been posted on YouTube.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And they're very interesting. He has a little accent, so I have to get through that. But, boy, I'll tell you, you can just tell that he is telling the absolute truth. If you have any discernment, you'll know.
Well, this should tell you, too, because he did die, and he didn't die a natural death. Correct?
That's correct. They poisoned him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was confirmed by his widow, Nuri Rivera, who insists it was the Jesuits, and she has a lot of other things to say.
And all you have to do is just Google her name, and that's and all the information will come up there. It's N-U-R-Y. That's Nuri, N-U-R-Y, Rivera.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Just search it out, and you'll find all kinds
of
stuff.
So she's carrying the torch.
Yep, she is.
Well, that's good. See, he could get married, and he married a fine woman.
Yes, he did. Anyhow, here's the story as told to Alberto from Cardinal B in approximately 1960. All right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, there was a wealthy Arabian widow named Khadijah. She gave her wealth to the Catholic Church. She was converted. And then she even retired to a convent. But she was beautiful and was given an assignment to find a brilliant young man who could be used by the Vatican to create a new religion and become a Messiah figure for the children of Ishmael. Khadijah had a cousin named Warqa, who was also a very faithful Roman Catholic convert. And so the Vatican placed him in a critical role as Muhammad's advisor. He soon had tremendous influence on Muhammad. So then they sent teachers to young Muhammad, and he again had just intensive training. He studied the works of St. Augustine, which brainwashed him really and prepared him for this so-called great calling. But during this training time, the Vatican had Catholic Arabs across North Africa begin to spread the story of how a great one who was about to rise up among the people and will be the chosen one of their God. So see, they set the stage for when Muhammad would show up.
Hmm. But remember, the power behind all this is...
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, while Muhammad was being prepared, he was told that his enemies were the Jews and Protestants, and that the only true Christians were Roman Catholic.
I see.
He was taught that others calling themselves Christians were actually wicked imposters and should be destroyed.
Right. And, of course, many Muslims obviously believe this still today.
Unfortunately.
And if you ever wondered why Muslims have so much, they have a lot in common with Christianity. In other words, they do
Catholic.
Believe, when Catholic, they believe Jesus is a prophet, but they also believe in the virgin birth, which is called the Immaculate Conception,
that's
I
right,
understand,
they
in Catholicism. They're
that
actually
Mary was conceived that way.
Yes. Okay. But they're required to believe that.
Yes.
So there's a real strong tie right there.
Oh, yes.
And there's more ties.
Oh, lots of ties.
There's a lot of ties,
both,
but that's just one I wanted to mention.
Both religions pray on the beads.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Both, yeah.
The women dress in the same garb as the Catholic nuns did, at least
back then.
For a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know if
well,
they
that's
still
true.
Do.
Yeah.
Some of them might, but...
Oh, we could go on quite a bit with that.
Actually, you could go on. But anyway, let's finish this part.
Okay.
So anyway, then Muhammad began receiving demonic divine revelations. And Khadijah, now his wife, by the way, she was 40 and he was 25, and the Catholic cousin named Warqa, who was also Muhammad's mentor, helped interpret these divine revelations. And, of course, from this came the Quran. And in the fifth year of Muhammad's mission, persecution came against the followers of Muhammad because they refused to worship the idols in the Kaaba because they were following other Mary and things like that.
So they were getting persecuted.
Yeah. So Muhammad instructed some of them to go ahead and flee to Abyssinia, where Negus, the Roman Catholic king, accepted them because Muhammad's views on the Virgin Mary were so close to Roman Catholic doctrine.
Yep. So these Muslims received protection from the Catholic kings because of Muhammad's revelations about Mary.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Now, Muhammad claimed he had a vision from Allah as well and was told by Allah, quote, "You are the messenger of Allah." So you can see how Satan was playing along with it as well. Now, this began his career as a prophet, and he did receive many messages. Now, by the time Muhammad died, the religion of Islam was exploding. The nomadic Arab tribes were joining forces in the name of Allah and his prophet, Muhammad. Some of Muhammad's writings were placed in the Quran, but others were never published. They are now in the hands of high-ranking holy men like the Ayatollahs in the Islamic faith, and no one's allowed to read them.
Why is that?
Well, Cardinal B said that these certain writings were so guarded because they contain information that links the Vatican to the creation of Islam. So both sides have so much information on each other that if exposed, it could create such a scandal that it would be a disaster for both religions.
Wow. Now, that's huge. They each have so much information on each other. If this ever got out, it would create a scandal that would be a disaster for Islam and Catholicism?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Wow.
Now, in the Quran, Christ is regarded as only a prophet. Now, if the Pope was his representative on earth, then he must also be a prophet from God. So eventually this caused the followers of Muhammad to fear and respect the Pope as another holy man as well. And of course I have this vision of even Yasser Arafat actually bowing down to, I think it was Pope Benedict, and kissing his ring.
No, it couldn't have been Benedict. He was Arafat was before that. Were you talking about Abbas or Arafat?
Arafat.
Ah, it couldn't have been Benedict. Maybe it was. I don't know. Was it that long ago?
I don't know. We can check that out.
We'll have
Either
to
way,
check
it was
that
the Pope. That's
he,
for sure.
He kissed the ring of the Pope. Which
yeah, maybe it was
that,
John Paul. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was one of them. I have a picture of it.
I think it was John Paul.
So anyway, then the army is ready, and the Pope moved quickly and issued bulls granting the Arab generals permission to invade and conquer the nations of North Africa. He financed these massive Islamic armies, and he said, "I'll do this in exchange for three favors."
Three favors.
That's right. The first one, eliminate the Jews and true Christians, which they call infidels. Now, we certainly know that's still true.
That is still true.
The other thing is always protect the Augustinian monks and the Roman Catholics. They must never get hurt. And number three, conquer Jerusalem for His Holiness in the Vatican. That is a huge, huge one, and they're still going for it.
Well, so they never seem to bother the Roman Catholics, but they do have something with the Eastern Orthodox.
Yeah, because they broke away from the Roman Catholics.
So they're infidels. That makes them infidels.
Yes.
Ah, gotcha. Now I understand it. Okay.
As time went by, the power of Islam became tremendous. Jews and true Christians were slaughtered, and Jerusalem fell into their hands. Roman Catholics were never attacked, nor were their shrines during this time, but when the Pope asked for Jerusalem that the Muslims had just gotten, he was surprised at their denial. Here, the Arab generals changed their mind with such military success because they decided they wanted Jerusalem for themselves. Now, under Warakar's direction, Muhammad's mentor, he wrote that Abraham offered Ishmael as a sacrifice. It was not Isaac. And with Muhammad's vision, they built a mosque, the Dome of the Rock, in Ishmael's honor on the site of the Jewish temple that was destroyed in 70 AD. This made Jerusalem the second most holy place in the Islam faith.
Now, that's replacement theology.
That's right.
Big time.
Now, the Pope realized that they had created, what they had created was out of control when he heard that they were even calling him an infidel way back in the old days.
Uh-oh.
But the Muslim generals were determined to conquer the world for Allah. And so then they began toward Europe.
Hmm.
So the Pope raised up his armies, called the Crusaders to hold them from grabbing Catholic Europe.
Hmm.
The Crusades lasted centuries, many battles occurred, and Jerusalem slipped out of the Pope's hands. The Turks conquered Jerusalem in 1517, the same year that Luther's Reformation occurred. So in 1540, the Jesuits were created to also fight for the Pope, but not overtly as in the Crusaders, but now covertly.
And this is probably, most certainly, anyway, what Paul's statement about the wolves in sheep's clothing were referring to. He was referring to
That's
this,
right.
wasn't he?
That's
and also,
right.
in 1517...
Wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yes, and in 1517, there was also something unusual about that year.
We understand it was a year of jubilee.
It was a jubilee.
Don't have time to go into it now.
Hmm.
Because we're almost out of time, and I just want to say, Rome, once again, is about to get her wish.
Sure looks like it.
Israel has indeed agreed to give control of the Temple Mount, as promised in the Oslo Accords of 93 to Pope Francis. And we're going to continue that next week.
Okay. If you have not made Jesus Lord of your whole life, you just can't rely on a religion or a head knowledge of him. You really need a heart conviction. He will give you his Holy Spirit if you turn and start to listen to his words. Get on your knees right now. We suggest getting on your knees. And you can repent of those sins that keep you in bondage. You know what they are? They weigh you down. They keep you back. Then commit or recommit, whichever the case may be, your life to Yeshua. He's your Savior. He's the Savior of the world. He's your personal Savior. It's always your choice where you spend eternity. We pray that you will make that choice tonight.
That's right. You decide. And then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them to be one of his own. For judgment is coming. It's very near.
Mm-hmm. And now I will leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yivrekecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next week, shalom.
Shalom.
Say that for me, Todd.
Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. For those who love her, Jerusalem shall prosper.
Not maybe. You do that so much better than me. See you next week.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday.